read me romance, read, read me romance, read me romance, read, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine, or you could sit back, relax and unwind and read me romance, read, read me romance.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome to the Read Me Romance podcast.
Happy Monday. So welcome. Welcome, Tessa. Tell us how this
welcome.
Works.
I feel like I'm in that movie Groundhog Day.
Why? Because we just had to throw out a whole episode and re-record it.
Absolutely. Mel's lucky because she got really embarrassed on the last episode that we tried to record. Yeah. And then for whatever reason, the sound wasn't cooperating. And then we just had to give up. So... nobody will ever know
the one
her secret.
Yeah. In the intro.
Yeah, we recorded a whole episode and then we realized that like my fucking headphones weren't plugged in or something. So
it's all Tessa's fault.
20 minutes that you'll never hear is down the drain now, but we're back and we're gonna talk about other fun stuff.
When the Alexa fans are reading that book that you're probably reading right now, it didn't have an extra epilogue because Tessa made us keep recording.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, this is all her fault. Sorry, guys.
I can't wait for these emails.
Exactly.
Okay, like I said, this is the Read Me Romance podcast. We are, I don't know, we're like a mishmash of fiction and fun, and we bring you original audiobook every week from a different author. We release a section of it Monday through Friday, and on Friday you get Happily Ever After, and it's like we tied up with a bow, and it's lots of fun.
Absolutely.
And in between, you can hear us yap at each other.
Or make fun of each other. Either one.
Either one. Yeah.
Yep.
So this week on the podcast, we're playing Their Second Chance by Katie Robert. It is
The Mountain.
Super sexy.
The yeah. Mountain.
The Mountain. Yeah, the hero is based on the Mountain from Game of Thrones, and that just like heightened the experience for me.
It's like this big burly, like thick guy that just he's a mountain.
It's just the thigh. Like you can put a saddle on those thighs and ride them.
What is it about the word thick? I'm like, damn, when somebody says thick, he's like thick. I'm like, I'm here. What's happening?
That's probably my number one favorite word to use when I'm writing is thick. Like whether I'm talking about dick or whether I'm talking about
Eagle
like,
said you
neck.
Like to call them our editor that we share, she said you like to call them heavy. She was like, that's Tess's word to describe a cock. It's always like weighted or heavy. Like there's a weight to whatever the manhood description is. It's somehow like heavy. Which I love.
I like when Leah does it to the women. She'll be like, I grab her thick thighs. And I'm like, I don't know why that's hot, too. I'm like, but it is. He thinks they're thick and he wants to grab them.
Thick and juicy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I like it, though. The description is very visceral. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. It is. It makes you think of like, it's like they're not soft, but they're not hard. They're just like, you can sink your finger in a little bit.
It's like dense,
them, you know?
But dense isn't as sexy the word to use.
That makes me think about a teaser I did the other day. Remember I sent you a teaser and there was a typo and the photo person was like, there's a typo in your teaser. It's because I edited it. Because you had said she ate my dick, which sounds really weird when you say it in just a sentence, but in the story it sounds awesome. But when I tried to pull it out for a teaser, I was like, nope, I gotta change it to suck. But in the story, like the moment, I'm like, yeah, eat that dick. But when I said it in just the one line, I'm like, this sounds weird.
They've gone full cannibalism.
Right.
New Alexa Riley line.
No, we do.
He's
our
so
best.
Possessive, he has to eat her. Yeah.
So the thick mountain is in Katie Robert's book.
Their Second Chance by Katie Robert. It is like the heroine is like the head of this royalty, this family who's like, you know, I it seems like they're like a dynasty. Yeah, I think it's called the Thelanian dynasty. He is her former bodyguard, and they were like lovers until she became head of the family, and then she had to like set him aside because family comes first and she can't, and like it goes against the rules to like date your bodyguard.
Of course it does.
Now she's back.
I said, of course it does. This is just,
of course it does.
She can't. There's no way she could possibly fall in love with this man.
Yeah, this man who like is sworn to protect her at the cost of his own life. There's nothing sexy
God,
about that.
Nothing.
Yeah. So she's back for like a family reunion and or like they're meeting to talk business, and he's like been assigned to her. He's her security detail. So she's not in the door 2 seconds where they're like, want to rekindle this? Mm-hmm. Want to see where this goes?
And she's hot. Yep.
Bring those thick thighs over here.
Bring those thick neck muscles.
Bring that heavy weighted neck muscle.
See, wait, in just the line, it doesn't work.
Yep.
Let me say this, Leah. So Leah doesn't get a ton of messages on Instagram or whatever. It's Judge where she says eat the dick.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
go they're ahead. Gonna ask.
Get that out of the way. Yeah, they're gonna ask.
Leah, you saw Hamilton.
Yes. Yeah, we saw Hamilton last week. I'd never seen it before. And I didn't know anything about it. I just knew it was a musical and it was about history. That was all I knew. But I just thought, you know, it's got so much hype on it that I want to go see it and check it out. And I just thought, you know, fuck it. Like, I got tickets because I know somebody that worked at the theater that posted up that they were releasing a new block of seats. And I was like, I'm going to get on it. And so we went and it blew me away. And obviously, like, so much better than I had ever expected. It's worth all the hype that it's ever gotten. And I know why these seats sell out. But I will say that Lin-Manuel is a motherfucker because he got me halfway in that play. So it's about, you know, it's about the history of Alexander Hamilton and all that he does. And it's that part's really great. But there's this love story in it, and it's kind of a love triangle between the woman he marries and the woman's sister, and then he cheats, and it's just this horrible, like, emotional thing that I just sobbed through, and I was like, and that I didn't expect, but I am just such a baby when it comes to shit like that. Like, anytime there's, you know, like we were talking about before, like, anytime it's, you know, an art or, you know, someone reveals a piece of their soul to you in a dramatic performance, I'm going to sob. Like, that's just who I am. So it was
I cry
amazing.
Even when it's not sad. Like, even I took Mackenzie to see my daughter Mackenzie. I took her to see School of Rock like a couple of months ago. And I was like, these kids are so, like, they have so much ahead of them. And, like, their future is so bright. And their parents are so proud. And, yeah, I cry at everything.
Yeah. But that's so cute, though. I love that. And, you know, like I said, the experience was great. But one thing I do want to say I did this last weekend is I went to a Renaissance festival. We talked about it early on, obviously, when we were discussing Renaissance Man, that there's a big Renaissance festival that happens near my house. Well, Claire Contreras lives near me, and I text her when we're on the way, and I was like, hey, my family, we're going to this Renaissance fair. Do you want to come? And she's like, fuck yes. So she comes and brings her kids, and we go, and it is literally like your book. It is happening. And I'm going to post a picture of Claire and I there together when your book goes up. So I'll post that and the videos of the joust and everything I took.
Let me make a note.
Yeah, so for those who listen to, you know, the second week on the podcast, you know, we had the Renaissance Man that Tessa Bailey wrote. There's, you know, the guy that competes in a joust for the woman's hand. And that's what happens in the Renaissance Festival I went to. They had a joust set up. This was like an all-day competition. This was the final one, the third thing, the joust. They were competing for the queen's favor. And let me tell you, there were some daddies on those horses.
Oh my God. The pictures you were sending me, I was so like,
they were
cooking dinner in my kitchen and I was like humping the counter. I was like, oh my God, these silver foxes on their mighty steeds, like, riding to victory.
Oh, yeah. It was
so,
like,
hot.
There was four of them lined up, and three of the four were daddies. Like, they were all, like, silver-haired.
God.
Like, one of them had full beard. The other guy was really young, but you could tell, like, he was super into it. And, like, they were all really handsome. And, like,
you know what they were? They were robust.
Oh, very,
like,
robust.
They were so robust. Like, their bodies were, like, thick.
Yeah, so I'll post the videos. Well, you know, you guys will have seen them by the time this airs, but yeah, I'll make sure and post that, like, when the book goes live, just so that everybody can see it, because that was really fun. Like, that whole day was awesome, and we got, like, giant turkey legs and steak on a stick, and, you know, they had, like, strongman and axe throwing, and it was just, it was really cool. So
Oh my God. Okay. So the last time I was at a joust was when I went to Medieval Times when I was like 9 or 10 years old. And I remember though, I remember being in the Green Knights section. Like if you guys have been to Medieval Times, like you get seated in like a certain knight's section and that's who you cheer for. And I remember like the Green Knight being like, he had like long wavy hair and he was super handsome. He's probably 50 now and he was super handsome. And he, like, after he won, he brought a rose over to the stands and picked a lady out of the crowd to come down to the front of the stands and get the rose. And she was super sexy. And they, like, made eyes at each other. And I swear to you, I remember that moment so clearly because it was so romantic and, like, hot.
Oh, and they're together.
Yeah, I think it might have sparked something.
They have 5 kids.
Yeah. They're divorced.
Stop! DNF! No! DNF here! Stop it! Why would you ruin it?
What's wrong with you? Sorry. I know she cries easy. Don't encourage.
No, they're definitely married and still bringing it in the bedroom. And
yeah, he's bringing her rose every Friday.
On vacation. I went and saw the Nutcracker in the theater with my daughter.
Tell me, because like to me, it looks good. The movie looks good. It looks like it's made well. But I'll be honest and say, I don't really like the story of the Nutcracker. I feel like it's really boring when I watch it. How was it in movie form?
It's been a while since I have seen the Nutcracker like as like the play. And so I didn't remember the storyline that clearly. So I don't know what they took license with and what was accurate.
Okay.
You know, like, fair enough. I know a lot of it. Like the Rat King was basically like 50 rats on top of each other. Like writhing around.
See, and I thought it was terrible. I thought it was Helen Mirren, right? That's who it is, not Claire Blanchett. I can't ever figure out. It's a beautiful older woman that played.
Yeah, Helen Mirren shows up. I didn't know any of these people were in it. Like, Helen Mirren shows up. She's kind of the bad guy, and then
which is great. I thought that was a cool twist that when I saw the preview that she, I thought she was going to be the actual Rat King. But that wasn't the case. but she looks like a badass.
I'm just going to be quiet.
She commands the
rest,
though.
but you said, so I wanted to ask who else was in it. And because Morgan Freeman's in it too, right?
Oh, yeah. Morgan Freeman mm-hmm. shows up. You don't expect him to show up. Okay. And then Keira Knightley, like, I didn't know she was going to be in it. And I wouldn't have gone to see it. I wouldn't have paid the admission because I, like... You guys,
of course.
I support women. I support women. I don't have anything bad to say about like her as a person, but as an actress, for some reason, there's something about Keira Knightley that I absolutely can't stand. And
well, her voice like in the preview is chilling to me because she sounds like if you put her voice on the sequence of a horror movie trailer, I would be scared shitless.
Yeah. Like. Uh huh. And I just, you know,
it's okay to not like her.
You're like, did I say this already? Oh, that's right. Cause I did it. Am I saying it for the third time?
It's okay to not like her is what I want to say.
I don't know. It's like,
a mess.
It took me out of it. Like her voice, like took me out of the movie completely because it's just so unexpected and it doesn't sound anything like her. And it's just like her face and her mouth. Which is my real problem with her. It's like she's so aware of what
I hate when a bitch's face is bothering.
But it's like she's moving. She knows what her face and her mouth look like at all times. I can see her thinking about it. Yeah, that's what's driving
she's super
me crazy.
Aware. So she's not method, weird? Is what you're saying. Like she, do you don't think method. She's a method actor where she's dressing as this fairy witch or whatever the whole time?
She didn't immerse herself completely.
No, she didn't.
I mean. Yeah, my mom spent the whole movie thinking she was Winona Ryder and that Helen Mirren was Olympia Dukakis. And when she told me this
Olympia Dukakis?
She thought Helen Mirren was Olympia. She wasn't Olympia Dukakis amazing? She looks amazing.
Holy shit. Isn't she like 100? Wow. Wow. Oh, you're poor
I got
mom.
So mad.
You were mad at your
mom? I don't know why.
Mom?
My reaction was completely inappropriate to what the situation. I was like, Mom!
You're embarrassing me.
That was Winona Ryder.
You were irrationally angry at your mother.
I mean, no.
Do you think this stems from a different part?
Knightley. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Do you think this stems from a part of your childhood where you felt hurt? you were so irrationally angry over this movie with her. Do you think perhaps this started before the theater test is when I'm asking?
It was the final straw. It was the final straw was her miscasting the Nutcracker.
No. Well, it's okay. It's all right. We can all heal from this. Let's talk about other Christmas movies that we love besides this one. Oh, have the new Grinch is about to come out, but it's already out, obviously, when this recording goes live. But the new Grinch looks freaking adorable because it's like you get to see
a cartoon.
Yeah, you get to see a baby Grinch. He's like his little baby. Aww. I know. It's so cute. But how many times can we remake the Grinch? That's what I want to ask.
I hated the Jim Carrey Grinch. No. Like, I didn't like it.
Why?
I don't know. It just, like, it's a cartoon in my head. Like, it's that original cartoon in my head that, like, is sacred. And I feel like such a downer on this episode. I'm like, I don't like Jim Carrey. And I don't like Keira Knightley.
Everybody
hitting on all the things
True Colors
like.
Are coming out. It only took 6 weeks and all the True Colors have come out on this podcast. Oh, let's let these fun people get to this book that they're desperately waiting for. Sorry, Katie, our bad. We're just gonna go on tangents.
Sorry,
about
Katie, we're not trying to run roughshod over your episode here. But okay, like we're gonna play the first, like we're gonna play the first section of their Second Chance by Katie Robert. Picture the mountain from the Game of Thrones, unless that's not your thing, and then picture, I don't know, Chris Hemsworth.
Think
that's always
fuck yourself.
Safe option. Yeah. And we'll catch up with you guys on the other side. So sit back, relax, and unwind.
Like, enjoy the episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Their Second Chance. Chapter 1. Nomi Huxley walked into her suite in the Thalanian Palace and took a deep breath. It was her first time being back here in nearly 2 years. First time being back since she took over as head of the family. And the first time being back since her father had been tried and convicted of treason. This weekend mattered so much, it made her a little sick to her stomach. Every eye would be on her during this event, the king's younger brother's wedding, and she couldn't afford to make a misstep. She walked a slow circuit around the room, but the motion did nothing to quell her rising restlessness. She wasn't part of the wedding party, and she wouldn't be attending the private events leading up to the wedding itself. The only reason she was here a full 3 days early lay in the fact that the prince's fiancé was a Huxley, albeit a distant cousin. The bride's father had passed away years ago and, as it was her right, she'd requested the head of the family to walk her down the aisle. Nomi would walk her down the aisle. She stopped short and ran her hand down her silk sheath dress. There had never been a Lady Huxley. Since the beginning of the family line, the title had always passed to a male heir. Until Nomi. A knock on the door brought her back to the present. She couldn't afford to be distracted now, not with the eyes of every noble in Thalania on her. The king and his consorts had taken a risk overriding centuries of tradition and backing her claim to the Huxley family. And she'd be damned before she did something to endanger the position. Mooning about would only result in missteps. She hurried to the door and opened it, only to stop short as a shadow fell across her entire body. She knew that shadow, knew it intimately down to her very soul. Nomi looked up, up, up to the familiar, brutal face of the one man she'd hoped to avoid during her visit to the palace. She should have known she'd never be so lucky. Isaac, Lady Huxley. The cut stung, just as she imagined it was meant to. A reminder. A reminder of the intimacy they no longer shared, of the choice she'd been forced to make 2 years ago, and of all that she'd sacrificed, even if she'd gained the things she'd thought she always wanted. She drew herself up, a laughable thing to do. Even though she was nearly 6 feet tall, Isaac Kozlov towered over her in both height and breadth. He filled the doorway and then some, and in any other place he would have to duck to walk through. Wait, why would he be walking through at all? He wasn't here for her, no matter that he stood at her door. She'd burned that bridge 2 years ago when she'd chosen duty over something that might have been love. No, Nomi. You can lie to him if you need to, but you must never lie to yourself. It was love. Was being the operative word. She lifted her chin, all too aware that she gave herself away with that one movement, but unable to help herself. Can I help you, Mr. Kozlov? Now it was his turn to hesitate.
We need to go over the plan for your protective detail.
She blinked. The palace has enough security that the nobles don't need individual protective details. That's the whole point of being in the palace.
I have my orders.
His rough features took on the stubborn set she knew so well. There would be no moving him. She could stand here and argue until they were both blue in the face and ready to throw things, or she could let him in and deal with this behind closed doors and away from curious ears. Her irritation rose in time with the beat of her heart, but he had her cornered, and they both knew she'd rather die than make a scene. She stepped back, letting belligerence snap from every movement. Come in, then. She didn't wait for him, choosing instead to march into the main living area and pour herself a strong drink. It might not be quite noon yet, but if she was going to have to deal with her ex less than an hour after she arrived, she was more than entitled to the brandy. All the brandy. Isaac walked into the room and gave it a cursory look. Nothing had changed since the last time he was here, when he'd bent her over. No, she couldn't take that walk down memory lane. It simply hurt too much. Nomi perched on the single chair, ceding the couch to him. Let him dwell on what they'd done the last time he'd occupied that exact seat. Not that she'd get a reaction from Isaac. He'd always had a superior poker face, and today was no exception. He sank onto the couch, his massive body taking up 2/3 of it, and met her gaze directly. Those blue eyes held absolutely nothing. No tenderness, no desire, certainly no love. It was just business, and hell if that didn't hurt just as much as she deserved. Isaac leaned forward and braced his elbows on his thighs.
The consort has made personal security arrangements for a few key individuals, and you are at the top of the list. As such, I've been assigned to you.
No need to ask which consort Isaac meant. Only one of the royal triad had taken over as head of security.
I'm going to kick your ass for this, Galen.
Except she couldn't, because throwing a fit about Isaac being assigned to her meant admitting they'd ever been more than acquaintances. Assign me someone else.
Believe me, I tried. I don't want to be in this position any more than you want me here. But Galen has his schedule and he's not budging.
There it was, the tiniest of cracks in his armor. If Nomi was a better person, she'd ignore it and go on pretending they were nothing more than almost strangers. She wasn't a better person, not when it came to Isaac. Would you like me to apologize for the choice I made? Would that do a damn bit of difference?
You know it wouldn't.
He looked away. Her gaze dropped to the roping scar that spanned his thick neck, testament to his time moving in worlds far darker than hers. Death had brushed by Isaac far too often for her liking, and she could count the resulting marks on his big body. She had counted them, tracing the scars with her mouth, reassuring herself that he was here, he was safe, he was hers. No longer. Frustration boiled up inside her, a toxic mix that would do them no good if she let it loose. She could throw things and scream until she was breathless, and Isaac would stand there, a mountain to her storm, unmovable to the very last. It wouldn't change the past, just like it wouldn't change the future. Their paths were set in stone, taking them on routes that wouldn't converge again, except for this weekend. Nomi pushed to her feet and strode to the side table to refill her drink. With her back turned, she could feel his gaze on her, tracing her bare shoulders, down her back, over the curve of her ass, and settling on her legs. If she turned around, he'd mask his expression again. But for this one moment, she knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was looking at her like he used to. As if she was the sexiest woman he'd ever seen, and he might die if he didn't have her in his arms. God, she missed him. She didn't quite have herself under control as she turned around. We might as well get on with going over security, then.
There have been threats made. We think they're the usual sort of thing that pops up during this kind of event. But we're doing our due diligence in the meantime.
I'm surprised you didn't just trace the IP addresses and take care of it immediately. In addition to being deadly in a number of ways, Isaac was also downright magical with computers. She'd never seen anything like it. But in the time when he served as head of security, he'd completely revamped the palace camera system and stopped any number of threats before they could actually become threats. His blue eyes flashed, a temper there that she'd always been so adept at provoking.
They were rerouted too many times to trace. Whoever it was knew what they were doing.
Isaac stood slowly, towering over her despite the coffee table between them, and a thrill went through her. He lowered dark brows.
This is a serious threat, Nomi. Don't be an idiot just because I'm the one delivering the news.
She closed her eyes and embraced the anger his words brought. Better to be furious than to address the gaping hole in her heart that only seemed to widen the longer they stood in the same room and didn't touch. The constant reminder of what she'd sacrificed for her family's greater good. A fight she could handle. In fact, she embraced it.
Excuse me?
You always do this. You're so damn smart, and no one could possibly have thought of those same solutions. Well, we have. We've done our due diligence and then some. And whoever is making these threats is either a hacker with too much time on their hands or an actual threat. We are treating it like the latter.
He ran a hand over his close-cropped dark hair, impatience and exasperation telegraphing every move.
You are smart, Nomi, but I think we can both agree that you're not the smartest person in the room when it comes to this. You haven't been back in the palace in damn near 2 years, and we've made changes to how things operate since then, which means you require a damn babysitter. I'm just the unlucky bastard who pulled the short straw.
She downed her drink. Tell Galen to assign someone else.
I tried. He's made up his mind.
Yeah, she just bet he did. Whether that order came from him directly or one of the other two in the royal triad, it didn't matter. They were misguided in their meddling. She and Isaac were ancient history, and if she moved through every day since she left him with a broken shard in her heart, if it twisted painfully late at night when she lay alone in her too big bed, if some days she actually hated her family for requiring her to give up so much for them. It didn't matter. It couldn't matter. But just because she'd made the choice didn't mean she had to passively take whatever misguided matchmaking efforts her monarch and his two consorts attempted without complaint. Nomi set her glass down carefully. Throwing things would undermine her point, and she couldn't afford that. She smoothed her dress and checked her hair in the mirror hanging on the wall. Perfect, as always. Once upon a time, she'd known how to let her hair down and get rumpled, but the safety for that had passed along with her relationship with Isaac. She headed for the door, pointedly ignoring the giant of a man taking up too much space. Naturally, it couldn't be that easy. Isaac stepped in front of her and held out a hand to stop her, but she wasn't in the mood to be stopped. She kept moving until his big hand pressed against the center of her chest.
If you can't be bothered to put together a convincing argument, then I'll have to do it.
Maybe if she kept her fury flaring hot, she wouldn't lose herself in how good it felt to have his rough palm dragging over her sternum, his fingers branching up to her collarbone and barely brushing the top curves of her breasts. He had to feel her heart racing beneath his touch, but she'd be damned before she relented first.
Get out of my way, Isaac.
You think you can just walk in there and start yelling, and everyone will bend over backwards to give you what you want?
He laughed harshly.
You know better.
Yeah, she did, but that wouldn't stop her. Getting a dressing down by Galen was better than dealing with this.
Anything was better than dealing with this. She lifted her chin. If you're not going to rip this dress in half, then get your fucking hands off me, Isaac. He didn't hesitate. One second she stood there, sure he'd laugh in her face. And then the next, her dress was floating to the ground in silken shreds.
Hi, we're back.
Hey, guys. What did you think? Did you love it? Did you picture Keira Knightley the whole time?
Did you what?
I said, did you picture Keira Knightley the whole time while you were listening?
I hope not. She's fine, you guys. I'm sure she's a really nice person. Okay, so let me tell you the rundown. Katie Robert has a new book out this week called There Is Ever After. Like, just came out, like, I think last week. Yeah, Monday or Tuesday of last week. It's MMF, and there's a free prequel called There Is For the Night. So check that out. The links are going to be in the episode description. The Last King by Katie Robert is normally $5.99, but it's on sale for $1.99 this week. You know, suspense, family feuds, enemies to lovers, is a bad boy, all the good stuff. And Their Second Chance, which we're listening to right now, the ebook is up for pre-order. So we're going to stick that pre-order link in the episode description. And other than that, we Crashed Out by Me by Tessa Bailey is on sale for 99 cents, and today's the last day to grab that. So,
oh, we're just slipping our own deals in there. Is that where we go get an Alexa Christmas book? That's what we're doing right now. That's not, let's pimp ourselves. Alexa has a Christmas book. We don't know which one it is, but fuck it, there's one out there. Go get it.
Alexa Riley definitely has a book on sale right now. Just Google it.
I just realized that, yeah, we do. I just realized when we were wrapping up, I felt like, because I see you, Leah, I thought we were like done, you know, like when we're at a signing, yeah. We like get up and we take a picture, yeah. And she was like, we were wrapping up, so I like stood up and I like put my hand on my hip, like you always make me do, like when you were wrapping up the episode.
Oh yeah, you did. You were like posting it out. You're like, I'm ready. Let's go. I love it. Oh, follow us.
What I wanted to mention was that we...
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, follow us on Instagram and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at Read Me Romance. Follow us on Facebook. Rate, review, subscribe, all that. We also want to send a special thank you out to a couple of people. One is Lola, our podcast producer.
Yeah.
She cobbles this shit together, makes it sound good, puts it out for you guys on time. And she's like a really big help. So thank you to Lola. And you guys want
to
thank
Mayhem. Thank you to Mayhem for working with me. I'm the one you're always with. She does all these covers and images and things for us. Well, not the images where it's like the desk and you're like, is that macaroon? We're not really on there. That's Photoshop bad. That's me doing something on the fly. But the really nice ones.
The covers and teasers for Read Me Romance and all the great graphics for Read Me Romance. And she even came up with a microphone, right? With like the little heart and the sound, like she did all that. So just big shout out to Mayhem Cover Creations. You can find her on that, mayhemcovercreations.com.
That's what one thing I will say about her is she is quick if you need something done. I love that about
her. Nobody use her because we need her right now, okay? So
and thank you to all of you guys for listening, and
we're like, sorry this was a hot mess.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you've been listening to this for a few weeks, but for us, this is the first week, like, because we're in the future that this, the podcast has gone live. And I think we're really overwhelmed by the response and the way that people are getting on board with podcasts, and like, even though they've never listened to them before. And we're just like really, really stoked about the response. So thank you for listening. And
that we're blaming this on you. We're not overly done. You did this. You should place that blame on all of us.
No, this is all
circle
Tessa's
back
fault.
That's on you.
It's all her fault. It's okay. We got your back.
All right. We love you guys, and we will be back tomorrow. So yeah.
We will.
So we'll see you then.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.